What a wonderful God we serve. All right, this morning we're going to be on a new series. I entitled it Father Knows Best. It won't be as long a series, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. But today I want to talk about why God answers prayer. Why God answers our prayers. Look with me and read with me in Luke chapter 12, if you would. And then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Most people broke that commandment right off the bat, haven't they? What you'll eat, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Life's more than food, and the body's more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit to a stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it was your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to talk today about why God answers prayer. I don't go to a doctor very often, even for checkups. And I know what you're saying. Oh, that's stupid. Well, I know it. But if I feel okay, I'm not going. Anyway, I did go to a dermatologist about a week and a half ago. If you've noticed, my hair is starting to get a little thin. And I thought maybe I've got something going on I don't see up there anyway. Anyway, so I decided I'd go to the dermatologist. They went in there and said, lady told me, go in that room, strip down the undershorts, and put on this garment. It wasn't a garment of praise. It was just a garment. And I did that, and I sat in there waiting for the dermatologist. A young lady came in there, and we had a little small talk there for a minute. She said, okay, and she started checking me. And she checked my feet, my legs, and chest. She'd raise your hands, and I raised my hands. She checked. She looked on my head. She said, really, your skin's in pretty good shape. Do you use, what do you call this stuff? Skin, sunblock, whatever. I said, sometimes, not always, maybe 1 or 2 times a year or so. She said, well, that's... She said, wow, well, that's good. Turn around, and she started looking at my back and legs and everything. And then she said, do you mind if I pull your shorts down? I said, well, I don't get no sun back there, I can promise you. But I said, if you're game, I'm game. And anyway, she did that. I wasn't sure what she was looking for, really. And I said that to say this. You ever heard the old expression, if it had been a snake, it'd have bit you? That means you're looking for something or looking at something that's obvious and you don't see it. I do that a lot. I'll go to the refrigerator and tell my wife, we don't have any mayonnaise or pickles or whatever I'm looking for. She said, yes, it's in there. I said, no, it's not. And I'll look for 2 or 3 minutes. I said, it's not in here. I've looked this thing over. She'll come in here and find it in about 3 seconds. I said, man, I was looking right at it. Didn't see it. It's amazing. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, not only for decades, for centuries. And when he showed up, they didn't see it. They didn't recognize him. John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. He said, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, right here. Father spoke from heaven. Everything was great until John was in prison. Then he told his disciples, go ask Jesus, is he really the one? Or we need to be looking for somebody else. It's amazing. Remember the old story in the Old Testament? Elijah went to King Ahab, and he told him, let me tell you this, it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then finally God told him, "All right, I'm going to send the rain." And he went up on the mountain, him and his servant, and he's praying and everything. And he sent his servant out there, "Go out there and see what you see." And he said, "I don't see nothing. I didn't see no change." He did that like 7 times. And finally he said, "I see a cloud way out in the distance, about the size of a man's hand." What are we looking for when we're believing God is answering our prayers? Do we miss it sometimes and not see it when it's right in front of our eyes? You know, that's amazing to me. We ask for something, start looking, or seek for something, start looking, and don't recognize it when it happens. I heard one time of the man that just got married. And I'll say this. I remember, I don't know all the things, but my wife's first meal she cooked for me when we got married. That's almost 44 years ago. It was fried pork chops, biscuits. And that's all I can remember. But she ain't made many biscuits since then. That's a whole nother sermon. But anyway, but this guy that just got married, and he asked his wife, "Are you a very good cook?" And she said, "I'm a pretty good cook. I'm really good at making meatloaf and banana pudding." She brought it to his plate and sat in front of him. He said, "Which one is this?" So a lot of times what we think and what we're looking for are two different things. It's hard to comprehend the greatness of God to me. And one thing that's hard for me to comprehend is how God answers prayer. Millions of prayers are going up all the time. Some are praying in Jesus' name. Some are praying in their own name or some other God or whatever. Not the true God. Some are being prayed in faith. Some are not. Some are being prayed according to God's will. Some are not. Some God can answer immediately, and sometimes because he's not going to override other people's will, it's going to take a long time before that can get answered, but I'll answer it. It's amazing to me, what are we looking for when we offer God prayer? And how do we know when it comes? If it comes a little bit differently than when we ask. That's what we're going to talk about this series. All right. Let's talk about the way God answers our prayers, how prayers get answered. Luis Palau was an Argentinian evangelist, great man of God. He died. He went to be with the Lord in 2021. He wrote an article in Christianity Today a number of years ago, and I remember that. And he said there's 5 ways God answers your prayers. Number one, I copied this now. These are his. He's going to say, "No, I love you too much." Now, a lot of people right off the bat say, "Well, if he says no, then he didn't answer my prayer." No's an answer. And I guarantee if you're a parent, you say no probably as much or more than you say yes. Because your kid's going to ask everything in the world and try this. "Can we do that? I want to do that. Can we have that?" And you're going to have to say no, 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 no. That's an answer. He said sometimes he's going to say no. I love you too much to let you have that. Number two, he said, he's going to say yes, but you have to wait a little bit. Now, we all want everything immediately. We're living in this. We want to whistle to God and say, "Come here, do this," like a bellhop. And if God doesn't move quickly, then throws us off. And good things come to those who wait, and that's the same thing with prayer. He's going to say yes, but you're going to have to wait a little bit. Third way he's going to answer your prayer is yes, but it's not going to be exactly how you expected it. Just like the Jews were looking for Messiah, praying for Messiah, and when Jesus showed up, he wasn't what they were looking for. He didn't fit the criteria. And so they didn't even, no way that could be him. Now, we're supposed to expect an answer when we pray. If you don't, you're just wasting your time. You're supposed to pray in faith. God answers faith and looks to faith, and faith pleases God. But sometimes the answer will not come exactly the way you think it's going to come. Number four, he said, he's going to say yes, and there's more besides this. God does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. God's not stingy. In this world, it's very seldom that you get even what you're expecting. People cut corners trying to save money, profit, whatever. Very seldom, and it really stands out to you if somebody goes above and beyond anything you were anticipating, isn't it? That's just not very normal in this world. And then the fifth thing he says is this. He's going to say, yes, I never thought you'd ask. You have not because you didn't ask. Either you were too proud, too busy, didn't call on me or whatever it may be. Okay, so I want to talk about that. I do believe prayer should be specific. Now, I've told you this before. The old boy that told his buddy, he said, I've been praying. What you been praying about? He said, nothing in particular. He said, what'd you get? Nothing in particular. I do believe we should pray specifically. You don't go into a restaurant and say, I just want some food. Who would do that? Just give me some food. No, what do you want? Here's the menu. Tell me what you want. And also, you don't go the other extreme. You don't say, I want this, and tell the chef this is the way he needs to cook it. This is the spices I want. This is the way I want it. This is the. You don't do that. It's going to come out, and just be prepared for it. Be ready for it. So anyway, let's look at this a little bit. Why does our prayers get answered? Our founding fathers, some of our founding fathers, were deists. Now, deism was a popular theological position in the 1700s and the 1800s. Basically, it says this. They believe in God. They believe God's a creator. God founded. God does things. And God established his creation and all that. They just have trouble believing God's actively involved in your day-to-day life. They believe God set things in motion just like he set the world in motion. And it's all set up the way he said it. Now, he's kind of sits back and he's not helping you pick out what clothes you're going to wear tomorrow and what you need to cook tonight. He's not doing that kind of stuff. He set everything up. Deism just believes God set it all up. Deism kind of emphasizes reason over revelation. And God give us a mind. Now, let's do what he's told us to do, or let's do what he's given us to work with. And so that's deism. That's just the belief that God's put it in your hand, your strength, your power, your ability to think and reason and do things. That's how he gets things done. He's already given it to you. Work it out. And so a lot of people don't pray because they don't trust in God for daily things, or it's too small, insignificant, or whatever. But I'm going to give you seven reasons God will answer our prayers when we call on him, because I believe he wants to. He wants to. Number one, this is really a deep one, because we ask. Now, James says we have not because we ask not. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, he told us to ask, seek, and knock. I remember in school, I'm talking about high school, college, or Bible college. I don't believe I can count on both hands the number of times I ever ask a question. I'm not going to ask a question. Teacher, what is this? Not that I knew it. I just wasn't going to ask it. I was hoping somebody else was going to ask, because I'm not going to sit there and look like an idiot. And so anyway, I never ask a question. I thought it might be a stupid question. It's very hard to ask a pretty girl out for a date. Your pride and everything gets in there. If she says no, man, it crushes you, whatever. I worked for my father a good bit of my life. I worked at Maddox Foundry and Machine Works off and on from 1974 to about 1991. I worked with my father at Farm Supply for about 6 or 7 years before he retired. And so I've worked with him all my life, just about, or a good portion of it. Well, when I was working at Maddox Foundry, I'd gotten married in 1980, and my mother, Maddox Foundry had roughly 100 employees, just say. They had it about 20, 25 in the foundry part, about 20, 25 in the machine shop, about 20, 25 in the fab shop, and then they had the engineering and the drafting and the front office and all of that, just roughly about 100 employees. My mother did the payroll. And one day she asked my father, why don't you give Wes a raise? He said, he's making what the other guys are making. She said, no, he isn't. He's making a lot. He's about the lowest one out there. Now, don't listen to Wayne Hoppin say anything about that. But anyway, He said, well, I thought he was up there with so-and-so. And she said, no, you never told me anything, and he's always been there. So thank you, Mama, for keeping me out of poverty the rest of my life. But anyway, that went on for about 2 years before I ever got to that. But anyway, I would not have asked him for a raise. I was not going to go up there and say, hey, me and my wife are starving. Would you please give me something more to eat? I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. I can't think. Now, I've got compassion on people that are suffering and hungry, but I can't think of a worse thing to me to be standing on the side of the road saying, somebody give me something to eat or give me some money. I'm not an asker. I don't ask that much. Now, I was in sales. I used to work for a company called Staff Leasing. And believe it or not, in the state of Florida, I was one of the top salesperson. Hold on, I'm not bragging because believe me, what I'm fixing to tell you. I was one of the top salespeople for getting proposals. You go to a business, you talk them into letting you look at their business and look at their employees and their insurance and all the different things they've got, and you're going to lease their employees and all this kind of stuff. I was probably one of the highest in the state for getting people to say, yeah, I'll let you get a proposal, but I wasn't very high at getting the sale. And the sale's what puts food on the table. You know why? Because I just presented, here's your thing, here's what we looked at and analyzed. It's going to save your company $10,000. It's going to take a lot of liability off of you. No, I don't want to do it. Okay. And that's really, I'm not joking, that's the way it was. I could get the proposals. I'm not good at asking anybody over and over again for anything. I sure don't like to beg nobody for anything. That's why it's really hard for me to ask people and beg people to come to Jesus. I don't have no trouble asking, but I'm not going to ask you over and over. I'm not going to be one of those who say, all right, we're going to sing this verse 6 more times. If nobody comes, then we'll close. If somebody comes, we're going to sing it another 10 times. I'm not like that. I'm more like Jesus and the rich young ruler. He comes up to Jesus, says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He said, you know the commandments. He gave him all this. He said, I've done all those. Kept all. He said, all right, go sell what you got. Come follow me. And the guy walked away like this. And Jesus didn't say, please come back. Let's talk this thing out. We'll work something out. He said, bye. And that's the way I tend to be. If I was fixing to say, I've got $1 million for you. Here it is. You want it? Well, I don't. Okay, I'm not going to sit and beg you for it. I just can't do that. The reason I don't do that, I think, is because there's nobody any more shy or any more self-conscious than I was. But when Jesus knocked on the door of my heart, nobody had to beg me. And I always think, if you're not going to respond to the gospel, then you're not ready. And I'm not going to twist it. Now, let's work it out. Let's soften it up, whatever. You're not ready. And that's just the way I perceive things, because that's the way I perceive things. Anyway, so I'm not good at just asking and begging or anything like this. But if you're going to get God to answer your prayers, you're going to have to humble yourself and ask. Sometimes we just don't have because we didn't ask him. Number two, because God honors his word. That's why he'll answer your prayers. Now, we're living in a society where you can't go by people's word anymore. If they say, I'll be there at 8 o'clock, that means between 8 and 10. If they say, I'll call you back, that means I'll call you back if I don't get sidetracked or get on another call or do this or something else comes up. The word does not mean anything. And if they don't do what they say, they'll give you 14 different excuses to cover up for their word meaning nothing. One man said it this way, if you break one promise, it means I'll have troubles trusting you completely from here on out. Another one said it this way, I'm not upset so much that you lied to me, but I'm more upset that from now on I can't believe you. Your word is supposed to mean something. That's what I was taught growing up. Whatever you say, you better do it. Don't say it if you ain't going to do it. I know there are certain occasions, but that should be very, very, very rare. Let me read you some scriptures here, how God keeps his word. God's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said he will and he will not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? God's going to honor his word. Jeremiah 1:12 says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" I'm going to back up what I just said I'm going to do. That's what God told Jeremiah. Isaiah, "Put me in remembrance." Go ahead and remind me what I said. "Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted." Hebrews 6:18, "That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." God says it's impossible for God to lie. He's going to do it. He's going to say it. Now, that doesn't mean you go find the scripture out of context, Brother Carey. Find it and say, "God, there's a scripture there. You've got to do that because you said it." He was talking to somebody else in a completely different situation. You've taken out there and tried to use that scripture against God. Now, you're being foolish. That's absolutely being foolish. But God does honor his word. If what he says applies to you and so forth, you can bank on that. And I guess one of the best ways to pray is pray the scriptures back to him. Anyway, number three, because he loves to reward faith. That's why he answers prayer. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it's impossible to please him." So if it's impossible to please God if you don't have faith, if you do have faith, it brings great pleasure to him. Now, we all operate by our five senses: taste, touch, seeing, hearing, and smelling. That's how we operate in this world. But when we're walking by faith, sometimes that faith has to override those five senses. We're trusting in what God has said. We're trusting in the love of God, the holiness of God, the faithfulness of God to his word. We may not see it right now, may not hear it right now, and so forth. But we're trusting him above all others. We're depending on him more than the almighty dollar. We're trusting in God and his security more than that security system we may have. So when you walk down the aisle in holy matrimony and you've pledged yourself to your spouse for your life, you're saying, "I'm going to be a part of your life and you're a part of my life. I'm going to support you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to complete you. I'm going to be there," and all this. You're pledging yourself. God honors it when people pledge themselves to him like he's pledged himself to them. God loves to reward those who trust him, who depend on him, who put their future in his hands. He loves to reward people that way. Joe Bisagno was a Baptist preacher. I think it's Houston, Texas. I've told this before, but he said one day he was in his office or in the living room study and his little 4 or 5 year old daughter come out and said, "Daddy, would you build me a dollhouse?" He said, "Yes, honey, I will, but I'm studying right now. I'm gonna be studying for the next couple hours." She said, "Okay, Daddy," and she gave him a kiss. Well, he said after a couple hours he looked out the window and she's had every one of her dolls out there under the tree, and he yelled into his wife, "What is Mary," or whatever her name, "what is she doing?" She said, "Honey, she asked you if you'd build a dollhouse. You said yes. She's getting ready for the answer." He said, "I had to get up and do it. I had to get up and build a dollhouse because she put that much trust in my word and she was expecting me to do it. And I moved." God does that too when God's people trust him like that. Here's another reason. Number four, the reason he'll answer your prayers, if you ask for the right reason, or maybe the right motive is the thing. James said this, "We have not because we ask not." Then he said this, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts." James 4:3. Now, one of the great differences between man and God, there's many. God looks on the inward part, the heart of man. Man can just see on the outside. He can't see what's in the heart of someone. Your motive, the reason why you're asking, the reason why you're seeking, the reason why you're knocking, whatever it is, God sees the real reason. And we don't always see that. Here's what Proverbs 16:2 says. "All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord." You can do a lot of things that look good, and you may have convinced yourself it's for the right reason, but your motives are not right. What are you talking about? You can do things that need to be done and you do it out of anger instead of love. You can do it out of pride for some reason, and nobody really knows that. You can do things to get even with somebody instead of for the right way. You can do things because you feel entitled. You can do things to be seen of man. You're going to get a pat on the back or going to get noticed or whatever. Dozens of motives that are not acceptable to God. And we got to check our hearts sometimes. Let me just give you some examples. You can preach and preach with the wrong motives. Look at Philippians. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. Wow. This is Paul. He's in prison. A lot of people taking off preaching now because he's in prison. He's out of the way. Now we're going to get the market. He said, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely. Can you believe it? Supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. He said, some people are preaching for the wrong motives, wrong reasons. Here's another thing. Sometimes our worship, as Keith even said today, our worship, our sacrifices are for the wrong motives. Look at Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? If your intentions are not good, God doesn't accept your sacrifices, your worship, or anything. Our giving has to have the pure motives, have the right intention. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly. Goodness, I hate to give. Or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. He's looking at your heart behind your actions. Here's another one. Helping the poor, giving alms. Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men, what? To be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. God said, I'm looking at your intentions, your motives. It's a big thing. When your motives and your intentions are right, God loves to give when you're walking by faith. So I ask you the question, do you do things with the right motives? If there's no visible payoff, you're going to still do it. If others criticize you, you're going to keep doing it. If you do something for somebody else and they don't have a grateful heart, you're going to do it again? I mean, over and over again, what is your motive? The heart is a very deceitful thing, but God loves to reward a heart that's got pure motives. Number five, he loves to answer prayer because we're putting him first in our life. That's kind of what our text was about there. God's not going to play second fiddle. He's not going to be one of the guys, one of the gods in your life. Just let me be in there somewhere. I just want to be a part. No, he's going to be number one or he ain't going to have nothing to do with it. Anything you put ahead of God is idolatry. It's false worship. You'll have no other gods before him. He even said things like, Jesus said, if you love your husband or your wife or your children or yourself more than me, you're not worthy of being my disciple. That's strong, very strong. So, he wants us to put him first. What we said in the text in Matthew 6, Jesus once said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, the clothes and all that. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But if you'll put the kingdom of God first, you'd be surprised what God's going to keep bringing to you because you're putting the kingdom of God first. He said that in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, food, clothing, shelter, and all that, he's going to show up and take care of you on those things right there. Number six, the reason God answers prayer, because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about our words, and the words are very important. Power of life and death is in the tongue. The Bible says things, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Man's going to have to give an account for every idle word that comes out of his mouth. I mean, we can go on and on about how the power of your words. But the Bible says your flowery words is not impressing God. He says some of you think you're going to get your prayers answered because of your many words. You've got a long prayer or vain repetition. You keep saying the same thing over and over again, think that's going to move God in some way. He said, that's not what moves me. Actually, the Heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. You realize that. So a lot of times we think when we're asking God for something that He's just now hearing about that. Oh, I didn't know that. I appreciate you telling me about that. He knows before we even ask Him what our need is. So prayer is not to inform Him. It's not to give Him some information that went over His head or anything like that. And so our words are very important, but they're not because we're trying to inform God of something. And sometimes we don't even have the right words to say. We don't know how to even pray as we ought. That happens sometimes, for sure. And that's why the Holy Ghost is so important. We have finite minds. We don't understand the big picture. All we're looking at is a little slither. And God says, wait a minute, but there's a whole lot that you're not seeing yet. So we need help. We don't even know what God's will is in some situations. We don't know a person's heart in the situation. The Holy Spirit helps us. How does He help us? Praying in the Spirit is one way. With groanings and things that cannot even be uttered. The Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God, who lines us up with the will of God. Holy Spirit helps enlighten us. He'll speak to us and reveal things to us that we wouldn't know except the Holy Spirit's revealing it to us. He sees the end from the beginning. Anyway, one of the reasons God likes to answer our prayers is because the Holy Spirit's lined our prayers up with Him. And boom, the answer's coming. Number 7, this is one that everybody probably thought of first of all when I said, why does God answer prayer? Because He loves us. Okay. Somebody asked a question one time and I didn't understand the answer, but here's what the question was. If you got more than one child, which child do you love the most? And every parent's going to say, I love them all the same. I know that. One woman said it this way, I love the one that needs me the most right then. It goes from minute by minute or hour by hour. Doesn't mean that I love them, but I give my full attention to them because they're in the greatest need right then. I love them all equally. For example, if I've got a sick child and the other four kids are out there playing, I can go out there and play with them, but I'm really drawn to that one that's sick. If I've got one that's failing school, I appreciate all of them, but I'm going to give a little more attention to the one that's failing. Doesn't mean I love them ultimately, but my love is demonstrated more to the one that has the greatest need. Now, Jesus was teaching about prayer, and He said this in Luke 11 through 13. Now, listen to this. He's trying to show prayer, how it relates to us, and we can relate to as a father ourselves. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? In other words, you're going to give him something less than what he asked you for? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now watch this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We're going to concentrate on that verse 13. We sing, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. You know what God sings to us? You're a bad, bad father. You're an evil father, Jesus said. In other words, you're sinful. You've got flaws. You're not perfect. And even in that condition, you love to give good things for your children. Can you imagine how much your Heavenly Father loves to give to His children? He doesn't say give things here. He says give the Holy Spirit. What's He saying there? Well, let me give you an illustration. I've told this before because I can't forget it. Me and my wife had just gotten married, probably been married 2 or 3 years, didn't have two nickels to rub together. I got a call one day from a telemarketer. Don't you love telemarketers? Yes. Anyway, They said, if you will come to Daytona Beach and listen to a timeshare, if you will do that, it's about an hour and a half, 2 hour presentation, you will win a washer and a dryer, a refrigerator, or a stereo and television combo. So you get a washer, dryer, refrigerator, or a TV with a stereo. And I told my wife, man, we could use any of those, but we got to listen to this stinking presentation for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I said, we're coming. We're coming all the way to Daytona Beach, 2 hour drive. I told her, do not open your mouth and say something that we want this thing. We're not getting this thing. We can't afford hardly the time of day, much less the timeshare. So just be tough. Just point to me and I'll tell them no. All right, so we go, and it's about an hour and a half, 2 hour session, and that's the highest pressure sales pitch I've ever seen in my life. I felt like a fool to turn it down. I was losing money to turn it down. And I finally said, sir, I appreciate it, and you gave a great presentation, but if you want me to be honest, we just came down because we need a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, or a TV or whatever. He said, all right, I respect you for being honest. Let me go see which one you won. Me and Darlene, we made it through this. He said, you won the TV and stereo. I said, okay, all right, that's good. And he gave me a piece of paper how to claim it, because I didn't know if I had to go pick it up or what. He said, here it is. It was like a boom box. That was the stereo part and had a little about 3-inch TV screen in it. And that is not all. I was fuming right then. And he says, all you have to do is pay $139 shipping and handling and taxes, and it's yours. If I'd have had an AK-15 or whatever, I'd have ended up in Rayford, I believe, because I can't believe somebody promised this, and that's what came with the promise. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You being evil, flawed, sinful people, you love to give good things. You're not gonna. He's not going to ask for bread, and he said, here you go, here's a stone. How much more does your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Now listen, he didn't say how much more God wants to give you bread and God wants to give you fish and all that. He says how much more he'll give you the Holy Spirit. He's given us a person behind the blessing. This truly happened one time in Arizona College. They had a tough math test and it come to the final exam and they had all kind of formulas and stuff they couldn't remember. The professor said, this test is so important, I'll let you bring one sheet of notebook paper. And you can put all the formulas, all the little notes, all the little things you need, put it on there, whatever you can fit on one piece of paper. I'll give you that because I know it's going to be hard without it. One old boy came and sat down at his desk, put his notebook paper by his desk, and had the smartest boy in the university come stand on his piece of paper and give him the answers. And the professor allowed it. He said, I have to give you credit. I said, whatever you can put on a piece of paper, and you put a lot on a piece of paper right there. And that's what the Lord's saying here. How much more does your Heavenly Father want to give the person of the Holy Ghost to you? Let me just wind this down and say this. If you don't expect an answer when you pray, I wouldn't even worry, waste my time. If you're not praying in faith at all. If you expect the prayer to come only the way you describe it and no other way, you're going to be sadly disappointed because he's going to do it his way. And if you're like the Jews, you can only see a Messiah that fits your definition, you're going to miss everything that you've been praying for. Same thing with the kingdom of God. If you've got it one way he can do it, no other way, you're going to be disappointed. Here's what's wrong. If you don't pray in faith, if you don't trust God, if you don't give God a chance to show his power and his love and his grace and his love for his children, and you don't recognize the answer when it comes, then you rob God of all that glory and praise. He just gave you something and brought an answer because He sees a bigger picture. And now you didn't even get to praise Him because you didn't think the answer ever came to you. You thought God was too busy to spend time with you. That's what we're talking about. Father knows best. We're going to do a little series on this. How God answers prayer. How do we miss it when He answers it and we don't see it? Would you stand with me, please? I won't close without saying this. The odds are there's people in here that don't even know Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't really call on His name except to repent and ask Him into your heart. But if you don't know Him, Jesus is here to give you life and life more abundant, eternal life. Have you bowed your knee to Him? Have you humbled yourself and said, I'm tired of trying to do it myself? I'm tired of trying to be good enough to earn His love. You can't do that. You're not going to earn your salvation either. If you need Him in your heart, we'll give you a chance. Now, once again, I'm not going to beg you. I'm going to give you a chance to get the greatest thing you've ever had in your life. If you don't want Him, you're not ready. But if the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, you come down here and we'll pray with you and we'll lead you how to know Him. One thing that, before we close also, Keith was mentioning it a while ago about praise. One of the reasons it's so awful if you don't recognize when God answers your prayers is God gets cut out of all that praise and glory and thanksgiving. And you just let it go, or you felt like you just took it matters in your own hand and didn't even see the answer when it came. Let's not cheat God out of the praise that's due Him. He mentioned Chester was trying. It's very easy for all of us to be spectators, and that's for me too. It's my makeup, my personality. But I'm going to tell you this: my God deserves our praise. Our God deserves all the praise and the glory and honor. If I was to say, all right, we're going to pledge allegiance to the flag, nobody would have any trouble doing this. I say, we'll pledge allegiance to God. Why do you have trouble doing this? I want to just take 30 seconds and you give God the praise. I don't care how you feel, who's sitting next to you. Just take 30 seconds to give God the greatest praise you've ever given Him. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, we give You glory, we give You honor, we give You praise and might, Lord. There is no other, there is none but You, Lord. You brought us out of a miry pit, Lord. You were there when no one else was there. You see the end from the beginning. You love us with an everlasting love. God, we give glory to You. We give thanks to You. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for preparing a place for me. Thank You, Lord, for walking through this life with me and not leaving me alone. Thank You, Holy Spirit. God, we praise You today. Thank You for Your love, grace, and glory. In Jesus' holy name, we pray and offer this to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Let's not be a church that the rocks have to cry out in our place. Father, we give You praise, glory, and honor here today. God, You see every heart and life. You see those that are trusting You, believing You, and believing by faith. God, I pray that You'd help us to prepare ourselves to receive and not miss what You're doing. Not overlook all that You've done and all that You will do. We thank You, Father. May the house of God be a house of worship and praise. May we truly be not a den of thieves, but may we be a place, not only a house of prayer, but a house of praise. Glory to Your holy name. We thank You, Father. We give You glory. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.